Luke chapter 8, verses 16, 17, 18. Verse 16 says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For what whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Let's stop right here and pray. Heavenly Father, we're looking at a kind of a simple parable in many ways, but I do pray there are many hidden truths here and important teachings here and things we need to learn. I pray you'd help me to expound the Word of God tonight. If anybody's on their way, get them here safely. If anybody comes through these doors not saved, we pray you'll save them. Just give us a good meeting tonight. May the Spirit of God help me as I preach. May the Spirit of God fill me. May the Spirit of God be our teacher tonight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to look at the parable of the lighted candle. Now, the word parable literally means to cast alongside. A parable is a story that teaches something new by placing the truth alongside something familiar. So that's the idea, casting alongside. It's teaching something new by placing it alongside of something familiar, like a lighted candle. Something very familiar. Everybody is familiar with a lighted candle. Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 11, if you just keep your place in chapter 8 and jump ahead to Luke 11 and verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So the Bible has a lot to say about lighted candles, and we're all familiar with the importance of candlelight. So everybody's familiar with this candle. And so a parable is a story, a simple story, that teaches something new by placing the truth alongside something that's very familiar to us. Now this parable, by the way, that we're going to look at tonight is also found in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark. Now, we're not going to really spend much time in Mark or Matthew tonight, but if you wanted to look it up, it would be in Matthew 13. That's the chapter with all the different parables. And then Mark chapter 4. So Matthew 13 and Mark 4. And I believe the fact that our Lord repeated this parable several times, to me, this emphasizes its great importance. That's why the Lord repeated it so much. Now, the first thing I want to look at tonight is the Christian's testimony. The Christian's testimony. Going back to chapter 8, verse 16. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." In other words, God wants our light to shine. That's our testimony. People oftentimes will not go to a church, they will not read a Bible, but if you let your light shine, your testimony is important. People are watching. People are observing. So we'll talk tonight about the Christian's testimony. And it's not difficult to understand the meaning of this parable. It's quite simple. The candle, or you could say the lamp, represents the light of the gospel light. We often sing, "Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore." So the light obviously represents the light of the gospel. The psalmist wrote, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Psalm 119:105. In fact, I read that scripture this morning, and this one also. "The entrance of thy words giveth light." Psalm 119, verse 130. So the light represents the light of the gospel. Now the Greek word translated vessel go back to Luke 8 and verse 16. No man, he says, covers the light with a vessel. You're not supposed to do that. When you have a light, you don't want to cover it up with a vessel. You want it to shine so people can see clearly and benefit from the light, get the benefit of the light. And covering it with a vessel would not be wise. So he says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, or setteth it on a candle. But rather, he sets it on a candlestick. Why? So that they which enter in may see the light. Now, the Greek word translated vessel here in verse 16 is used in various ways in the Bible. For example, in Luke 17:31, that same word vessel is translated stuff. Stuff. So, I'll read the scripture to you. In that day, Jesus said, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, leave the stuff alone. He that is up on the housetop and his stuff's inside the house, don't let him come down to get it. You see? He that is in the field, likewise, don't return. Come back and get your stuff. So the same Greek word translated vessel in Luke 8, verse 16, is translated stuff in Luke 17:31. What does that mean? Don't allow stuff to obscure the light. Don't allow stuff to get in the way. And that's the problem oftentimes for the Christian. Different things get in the way. There's a lot of stuff that hides the light and obscures the light. Don't allow stuff to do that. And that's the problem oftentimes. And some stuff is good. But if it's hindering the light of the gospel, it's not good. And we dealt with this quite a bit in my Sunday school class this morning. Family, work, this is good, but not if it gets in the way of our life and obscures our life and hides our life. You see? So don't let stuff, whether it's good, like a good job or family or hobbies, these things are okay, but not if they're going to cover the light. So Jesus said, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or lets stuff get in the way, covers it with stuff, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Now, I mentioned this parable is also in Mark. In Mark chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not be set on a candlestick? You know, I've preached this before, and I've been studying these parables for a long time. Preachers have pointed out that the bushel, when Jesus said, is a candle to be put under a bushel, or when he says in Luke 8, verse 16, no man covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, and then in Mark he says, no man puts it under a bushel, I've heard preachers say the bushel represents business and the material things of this life. While the bed, no man puts it under the bed, represents comfort and ease. That's something to think about. In other words, letting business interests get in the way of the gospel. Letting business interests hide the light and obscure the light. So, Jesus said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Now we can understand the bushel representing business affairs getting in the way of our testimony. But what about under a bed? The bed represents comfort and ease. Some people got on the bed this afternoon, take a little snooze, and they didn't come back to church tonight. Amen? You know, they enjoyed that nap, and they just stretched out. Now they're missing an action tonight. Amen? That's a shame. Listen, I'm going to go on a record. I enjoy a good Sunday afternoon nap. My good friend Dan Knickerbocker will be here next week, said his three Baptist ordinances. Baptism, Lord's Supper, and a Sunday afternoon nap. Amen? But seriously, I like a little nap on Sunday, but not to the point you're going to forget to come back Sunday night. Amen? So no one puts the light under a bed. A bed represents comfort and ease. Look at, let me see here, if I can find the right verse here. Oh, let me go back here. Let me see. Let's go back to Mark. Let's go to Mark. In chapter 4. Let me see. We'll see the same thing in Luke in a minute. But go to Mark 4:19. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now we look at the same thing here in Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So the idea here is that the bushel, no man puts the candle under a bushel, that's letting business get in the way of our testimony for the Lord, and then put under a bed worldly cares and worldly pleasures and things like that, comfort and ease, letting those things hinder our testimony and obscure the light. Jesus said they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, it's quite simple. We are not to let worldly pursuits and worldly pleasures dim our light. We're to let the light shine. We have to let our light shine everywhere we go. Now, I've said this before. I think it bears repeating. Some of you have the opportunity to preach to more people than I do. I'll tell you what I mean by that. You see them every day on the job. I don't see them. I don't even know who they are. But you can see them every day at work. You'll see certain people on the train every day, or on the bus. I used to commute. I used to work in Manhattan, and I noticed the same people every day commuting. Because everybody's on the same schedule, right? I mean, some people, we're all creatures of habit. Get up the same time, have breakfast the same time. Hope you have a devotion at the same time. Get on the subway, get on the bus. You see certain people, and you can witness to them. You can hand them a tract. You can talk to them. You go to school, see the same people, students, teachers, and so on. Don't hide the light. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't let stuff hinder the light. Don't put your light under the bed. Let your light shine. You know, one of my favorite children's songs is, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine." Amen? Don't let Satan blow it out. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So, this is one of the great themes of the Bible, and it's repeated over and over again. Don't let your light be covered. Let your light shine. The Lord Jesus said this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. Did you hear that? People are watching us. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're going to talk tonight about the Christian's testimony, letting our light shine. Here's something else Jesus said, Matthew 10:27. "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Here's something else, John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "In him," meaning in Jesus, "was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Did you hear that? The light shineth in darkness. Here's one of my favorite verses, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." John 3:19-21. We often quote John 3:16. You know, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Or we might go to verse 17, right? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Maybe we'll go to verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But then the next verse, and this is the condemnation. Why? The Bible says they're condemned already. Why? Because they don't believe in Jesus. And here's the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Referring to John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus said he was a burning and a shining light. Isn't that a great testimony? Wouldn't you like someone to say that about you? Do you know so-and-so? Yeah, he's a bright and shining light. Amen! That's a good testimony. He was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Jesus said, you were willing for a season to rejoice in John's light. That's John 5:35. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So you can see one of the great themes of the Bible is walking in the light, letting our light shine. The Lord Jesus said in John 9, verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 12, 35 and 36 says, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know why so many people are mixed up, confused, always getting into trouble? They're walking in darkness, and they don't know where they're going. That's the problem with this whole world. People are in darkness. They need to see the light. That's where we come in. Let's not cover our light. Let's not dim our light. Let's let our light shine brightly. That's why we're here. You know, God could have saved you and taken you right home to heaven. But he kept you here. He kept me here so our light will shine. Our light can shine here on Elmont Road. Amen? Your light can shine where you work. Your light can shine in your neighborhood, on your street. Let your light shine. Jesus said in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Should not abide in darkness. This afternoon, a young lady was talking to me and Brother Carl, and she said something about, she knows some people that were Christian and they converted to Islam. I would tell you right now, no genuine Christian who has the light in them is going to go into darkness like that. No way. I said, well, they might have been nominal Christians, professed Christians, but they're genuinely saved, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. They have the light inside them. They're not going to go into something dark like that, into Islam, a false religion like that. And she didn't seem to understand that, and I tried to explain it as best I could to her. No one who's truly saved, no one who's truly born again is going to go into darkness. And Islam is dark. Darkness. Total darkness. And she said, what's wrong with that? I said, well, let's start off with their concept of Jesus. They don't believe he died on the cross for our sins. They don't believe he's God. They don't believe he's the only way to get to heaven. Need I go on any further? I can tell you 100 reasons why it's wrong. And so she didn't seem to understand that. She said, why is she so mixed up? Public school. She told me some of the things they taught her in the public school. Now look, the Lord Jesus told the Apostle Paul to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's our ministry. That's why we're here. That's why we go out soul winning. That's why we give out gospel tracts, knock on doors, give out flyers. Why? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. Isn't that something? People who are trusting Christ are walking in the light. People who are in darkness are under the power of Satan. Now, you know, people don't like it when you say that, but that's what the Bible says. And that's the truth. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were, before you were saved, you were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Did he get that? That's Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light. In other words, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under a bed. Don't let a vessel cover it up. Let your light shine. You were, because you were, before you were saved, before you trusted Christ, you were sometimes darkness. But now that you're saved, ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter 2:9 says, God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a transformation took place when you were saved, when I was saved. Amen? What a marvelous transformation. We were transformed. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, beloved, you and I are going to be held responsible for the light that we have received. I want you to think about that. God is going to hold you responsible. That is the message of this parable in Luke chapter 8. Let's go back to it. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, the Lord is saying here that we're going to be held responsible for the light that we've been given, the light we have received. And by the way, this is taught all throughout the Bible. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Have you ever thought about that scripture? If you turn sinners to Christ, and you turn them away from the things of this world and turn them to the gospel, they that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. How about that? Not just in this world, but in eternity, in the world to come. They that turn many to righteousness will shine, the Bible says, as the stars forever and ever. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And what does my Bible say? He that witteth souls is wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Let's get busy letting our light shine. Let's get busy trying to rescue people from darkness. People are in darkness all over this neighborhood. People are in darkness all over New York City. People are in darkness all over Long Island. People are in darkness all over the world. Amen? Let's get to what can we do around the world. Well, for one thing, we can support missions. Amen? We can pray for our missionaries. We can support them financially. We can pray for them. Amen? So, the Christian's testimony. Moving along here, let's look at the Christian's appointment. The Christian's testimony, and then comes the Christian's appointment. Look at verse 17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Beloved, what this is saying is a day coming. Mark it down, there's a day coming when every man must stand face to face before God. Every individual, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is going to stand face to face before God. When the great American statesman, Daniel Webster, was asked to share the greatest thought that had ever passed through his mind, you know what Daniel Webster said? My accountability to Almighty God. That, he said, was the greatest thought that ever passed through his mind, that he was going to give an account to God. Someday he'd stand before God. Yes, in this world he stood before presidents and other great leaders, and he stood in the Senate and Congress and all of these, and with ambassadors and all these great men, but someday I'm going to stand before God. My accountability to Almighty God. And over again in the Bible we see this principle that there's coming a day when we're all going to give an account. We see this principle that when things are hidden, in due time they're all going to come to light. It's all going to come out. Look again what our Lord says. Nothing is sacred. You know, a lot of people try to keep things secret, but it's all going to come out. Nothing is secret. You know, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, I mean, this is kind of a strange story, but it's strange to me how people do weird and stupid and foolish things, not realizing they're going to get caught. There's a woman out in Washington State. Linda's laughing already. So she's a white woman who makes them believe she's black. Now, how did she get away with that? She's more whiter than I am. Amen? I mean, she's so white. I mean, I'm so white, if I go out in the sunshine, I'll just turn to a lobster. Amen? I got to wear a big hat. Amen? I mean, she's so white. And she's got her hair all frizzy. And she puts some kind of makeup on. And she's changed her way of talking. And now she's making believe she's black. She's a make-believe Negro. I'm not kidding. And she's even in charge of the, what do you call it, the NAACP? She's in charge of their, what's that, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? But she's really not a colored person. She's a white person. So she's a National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, but she's really a secret, phony imposter. Huh? I guess we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, like Bruce Jenner makes believe he's a woman. Now he got a woman making believe she's a, make believe she's a black woman. You know, she got caught. Her parents called the news media and showed her photographs of her when she was a kid. A little white girl with blue eyes and blonde hair. So that's our daughter. She's a phony. She's not really black. Now, I'm only using this as a kind of ridiculous illustration about people who do foolish things, not realizing they get caught. She was caught right here in this world. But listen, someday we're going to stand before God. And the Bible says here, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. It's all going to come out. It's all going to be exposed. Nothing can be hidden. This woman's exposed right now. Now she's a laughing stock. In fact, a newspaper man went over to the microphone and said, tell me, aren't your mom and dad, aren't your parents white? Oh, what do you mean by that? Yes, that's what I mean. You're an imposter. You're a phony. And, she's trying to get out of that trouble, but she's caught. But listen, we're going to get away with it in this world or not, but certainly God can get away with it in the next world. Amen? Because Jesus said, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Over and over again, we see this principle in the Bible, that when things are hidden, in due time, they will come to light. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before the time. Why? Until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He said, all of these things are going to come out in the light. He said, God's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Even the things that are hidden in people's hearts are going to come out. Think about that. Even if they hadn't expressed it in words and spoken about it and talked about it and discussed it, he's going to bring it out. It's all going to come out and make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Why? Because God's going to judge righteously. And it's all going to come out. He'll make everything right. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 2, our Lord said, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. It's all going to come out. It's all going to be uncovered and revealed. Our Lord said in Matthew 12:36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, a lot of people use a lot of idle words, and they waste precious words, waste precious time, and it's all going to come out. They're going to have to give an account. They're going to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Everything's going to come to light. The lost have an appointment at the great white throne judgment. It's recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. All the unsaved are all going to stand before God and be judged at the great white throne judgment. What about the Christian? I look around the room tonight, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, everybody in this room is saved tonight. At least everybody professes to be saved tonight. What about us? When are we going to give an account? Well, for the Christian, our appointment is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian, every child of God is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, and he also said it, I'm sorry, verses Romans 14, verse 10, and 2 Corinthians 5:10. All right, so Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10 said the same thing, for we shall all, Paul says all of us, all us Christians, we're all going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's Romans 14:10. That's 2 Corinthians 5:10. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:13. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Notice that. It's all going to come out at the judgment seat of Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, verse 13. God's going to reveal it all, deal with it all. It's all going to be manifest. Now, look also, 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Look at verse 11. We don't hear much preaching on this. Verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Beloved, we're all going to give an account to God. And that's what our Lord's saying here in the parable of the lighted candle. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. In this world, so many things get hidden. So many things get covered up. People are often not what they appear to be. People put on a disguise. People put on masks. People are phony. Not just absurd situations like this woman out in Washington State. I mean, she's obviously an imposter. Probably something wrong with her. Probably a little mentally crazy or something. But not just that. People are not... They're fake. They're insincere. And it's all going to come out. At the judgment seat of Christ, everything shall be made manifest. You know, there's one thing I don't like in this world. It's someone who's insincere, who's a phony. Amen? Let's be real. Amen? Be yourself. Don't try to be something you're not. The judgment seat, everything's going to be made manifest. Now, some people feel our Lord is referring here to the parables themselves. That the parables are hiding something, and it's all going to be made clear at the judgment seat, or be made clear when the Lord comes back, and so on. They say, aren't that the parables themselves a deliberate obscuration of the truth? Isn't our Lord deliberately obscuring truth to the unsaved? And they'll go to Luke 8:10. Go to Luke 8:10. Jesus said, unto you believers, unto you disciples, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to others, in other words, outsiders, unsaved people, but to others in parables. Did you think about that? That's something to think about. That he said the purpose behind these parables, because look at verse 9. The disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? What's the meaning of this parable? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others, the unsaved people, in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. The old-time preachers used to say, the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. There's certainly a lot of truth in that. However, let me say this. I don't want to spend too much time on this. The ultimate purpose of the parables is not to hide. I believe that. The ultimate purpose of the parables is not to obscure truth, not to hide truth, but to instruct, to teach us. The parables, I believe, are not meant to conceal truth. They're meant to reveal truth. That's my position on this. That's why our Lord repeatedly says over and over, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Look at Luke 8, verse 8. Luke 8, verse 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 8. And other fell on good ground. If you're saved tonight, that's referring to you. The seed fell on good ground, good soil. Verse 8. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit a hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. On the basis of that verse and on many others, if you know your Bible, you know Jesus said this repeatedly in Matthew and Mark and Luke. In fact, in the seven letters to the seven churches, he said it to each church. Repeatedly, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Because of that, I believe these parables are meant to reveal truth, not to conceal truth. Now, there's a solemn warning given in 2 John verse 8. And this warning is often overlooked. I'm going to read it to you right now. Look to yourselves. In other words, watch out. Beware. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Have you ever really given that serious consideration? Have you thought about those words, that warning? Look to yourselves. In other words, I mean, be careful. Watch out. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. What does that mean? Obviously, some Christians are going to lose out at the judgment seat. They're going to lose their full reward. They could have received the full reward. God wanted to give them a full reward, but because of carelessness and slothfulness and negligence, they're losing out on the full reward. Beloved, I hope nobody in the room tonight is going to be guilty of that and miss out on that. Be careful. Look to yourselves. Some careless Christians are going to be ashamed when the Lord Jesus comes back. You say, that's a strong statement to make. It is, but it's from the Bible. I'm going to read it to you right now. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. In other words, abide in Christ. That when he shall appear, that when Christ comes back, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's another serious warning. You compare 1 John 2:28. You compare that with 2 John 8. What's John saying? Some Christians are going to be ashamed when the Lord comes back. Why? They didn't let the light shine. They hid it under a bushel. Hid it under the bed. Let stuff get in the way. Amen! That's what he's saying here. And Jesus said, it's all going to come out. It's all going to be made manifest. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. So, a lot of people are kind of playing church. Oh, they're Christian, so they say, and they know how to quote some scripture, and they carry their Bible, and they profess to be born again, and this and that, and then the judgment seat of Christ, it's all going to come out. Jesus says, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. And if they are truly saved, they're going to lose their full reward. And if they're not saved, Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. That's really tragic. Not just somebody losing a full reward, but someone who's never genuinely born again in the first place. And certainly we have some of those. In fact, the Lord deals with that right here in Luke chapter 8 also. If you look at Luke chapter 8, look at verse 13. They that fall on a rock, the seed falls on a rock, and they which when they hear receive the word with joy. They receive the word with joy. I think folks are there. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. I came to this church. I heard the gospel. Oh, they received the word with joy. But they have no root. No root. No depth. And what happens? Well, for a while they believe, and in a time of temptation they fall away. Huh? Verse 14. And there's a seed which falls upon thorns. Are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Beloved, I hope verse 15 describes everybody here tonight. But that on the good ground are they which when they're honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I hope you're bringing forth fruit. Don't be fruitless. Be fruitful. Well, let's move on. Time is flying here. We have the Christian's testimony, the Christian's appointment, and we're all going to be there at that appointment. Nobody's going to be able to miss that appointment. And then the Christian's hearing. His hearing. What did Jesus say? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Christian's hearing. Verse 18, Luke 8, 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. You know, I never thought about it before. It's a privilege to be in a church where the Bible's preached, the Bible's taught, but there's responsibilities too. And Jesus said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, the man who receives God's word properly and uses what he hears, will have still more given to him. That's what this is saying here. I'll repeat that because some people haven't really thought about this. The person who receives the word of God and he receives it with the right frame of mind, his heart is right, he receives it properly, and then he uses what he has, what's been given to him, God will give him even more. All right? You say, well, I never thought of it that way. Well, look at verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, in other words, talking about what he's heard, what he received, the word of God, to him shall be given. He's going to get even more. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, let me try my best to elaborate, to explain this. If we use what God has given us, it will increase. Isn't that wonderful to know? God's given you the Word of God. You understand the Word of God. You trust the Word of God. You believe the Word of God. Now God's going to increase that and give you more light and more understanding and more knowledge. But if we do not hear, if we do not really listen and appreciate what God has given us, we're going to lose everything. Look at it again. He says, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Keep your place here. Please go to Luke 19 and verse 26. Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 26. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now that is what the Bible says. Beloved, it is foolish to hear the word of God and not act upon it. It's foolish to hear the word of God and not obey the word of God. Then that whatever little they have is going to be taken away. But a person who hears the word of God and properly acts upon it and uses it, you say, what do you mean use it? Shares it with others? Obeys it? Orders his life on that way? That person is going to receive even more. But the person who doesn't obey and doesn't act upon it and neglects it is going to be taken away even what he has. Look at Luke 6:47, please. Luke 6:47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, that's what I'm talking about tonight, not only hearing, but doing it, obeying it. Don't just be hearers of the word, the Bible says, what? Doers, not just hearers. Not just hearers only. And doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth. Literally, he built it upon the sand, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Like those houses that came down during Hurricane Sandy, right? Just then demolished. Fell into the ocean. That's a foolish person who hears the word of God, ignores it, neglects it, doesn't act upon it, doesn't put it into use, doesn't obey it. Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, and where are we now? Verse 18, he says, whosoever hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Now, it's a great responsibility when you hear the word of God. It's a serious thing to hear and understand the word of God. Because this puts on us the obligation to act upon it. It puts on us the obligation to share the Word of God with others. Let our light shine before others. One of my favorite verses is James 1:22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are a lot of deceived people in churches. That's the fact. We talk about the different Baptists. There's 100 different Baptists. You got Independent Baptists, Fundamental Baptists, Southern Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Regular Baptists, Reformed Baptists. You also got a deceived Baptist. There's a lot of deceived Baptists. Amen? You got to watch out for them. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Consider the Christian's testimony, his appointment, and his hearing. I want to give you a quote from Harry Ironside. It's a lengthy quote, so stick with me. I gave one last week, and someone came to me after the service and said, "Hey, I like that quote. Who's that?" I said, "Harry Ironside." A lot of his sermons and expositions, his expository notes are on the internet for free. You look them up. That's why I was able to copy and paste this with so easy, just put it right in my notes. But let me read it to you. He said, "Our Lord suggests the possibility of hiding the light under a bed. Now the bed, of course, speaks of taking one's ease. Have we not known many like that? They are interested in the things of God so long as those things do not interfere with their own comfort. How many forget that Sunday is, in a very definite sense, the Lord's Day? And yet they will stay out late on Saturday night and wear themselves out in business or pleasure and then lie in bed on Sunday morning until it is too late to gather with the people of God on the plea that they must have rest for body and mind. Surely a little forethought would suggest carefully conserving the last hours of the week in order that one might be at his best on the Lord's Day. To use the full time for God in such a way as to bring glory to His name by participating in the worship of His people and in the various activities connected with the gospel testimony. It is so easy to hide one's light under the bed and excuse oneself on the ground of physical weariness. Many might have far more active participation in the things of Christ if it were not for slothfulness. I would to God that we Christians might be as much in earnest about witnessing for Christ as are the devil's embassies in serving Him. What a stir there often is when a gospel meeting runs over 9 o'clock, and yet worldlings can be out at the theater or other ungodly places until midnight and think nothing of it. It is a shame that Christians are so slack in manifesting devotion to Christ. May we not all challenge our hearts as to whether we give Christ the first place and make the things of God our immediate aim, or whether, after all, we think first of our own comfort and put the things of God in a secondary place. Our Lord tells us that nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Elsewhere we are told that someday we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that solemn day when all the purposes of the heart are manifest. How many of us will look back with grief on our lack of real devotion to Christ when we were in this scene? What we need to do is to live more and more in the light of that day of manifestation. To those words I say, amen and amen.